kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice. Leave with him your care and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. There's room for all who would his glory share. List their ways, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Lean at the cross, lean every care, lean at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Give your eyes up. Look at the wounds above. Turn not away to my sparkling cup. Trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross. Kneel every care.
Thank you, Brother Buford. Thank you, David. Got some few verses of scripture I'd like to share with you. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin with verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, there's nothing going to separate us from God's love. Sin will separate us from God, but you know, he still loves the sinner. But I don't have a whole lot to share with you on this. There's just a question come to my mind. What would separate us from our love for God? Now think about that. Would tribulations destroy our love for God? Famine, nakedness, sword? We don't know what we're going to face. I just want to hold on to the end, that God would be honored and glorified at his appearing in me. And not only me, but you all too. I want us all to make it. I want us all to be together in heaven. It's my greatest desire to be able to see you all, and the ones that's gone on before, and ones that will be born into the kingdom of God till His appearing. I don't believe in trying to do any more than what the Lord wants us to do.
To say tonight, I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. We ought to be joyful when we come in the house of the Lord. We ought to be joyful every day of the week just because of what Christ has done for us. Hey, if He ain't done nothing else for you today, He saved your soul, didn't He?
Amen.
Ought to be joyful, people. But I know He's done much more than that. I guarantee for each and every one of us that's made it here tonight, He's done something for you probably just today. He woke you up this morning. Amen. He gave you clothes to put on to get down to the house of God. He gave you a vehicle to drive or a home to live in. He's done a whole lot for you. We ought to be a happy people. But tonight we're going to be reading over in Daniel chapter 3. If I could, I'll tell all about this here in just a moment, but not one that titles a message often, but if I could title this message, I would title it A Tent and $750, and we'll get to that in just a moment. What I'm going to be reading on is deliverance. Right here in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 10, is where we're going to read. And it says in verse 10, it says, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, said, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye should hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Amen. You may be seated. That's what we're going to focus on tonight, right here in the Word of God and what's taken place in our life throughout the years, and also in even more Scripture here in the Word of God we're going to focus on tonight. But the main word we're going to focus on, if I can be with you before you just for a moment, is deliverance. How many times has God delivered you? You look right here how God delivered him. God didn't just show up in the moment when they was cast in the fiery furnace, God was already there. He knew what was taking place. He was already there before them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that it didn't matter. There was nothing that was going to prevail against them. They knew they served a mighty and a powerful, almighty, true, and living God. And He was already there before them. It didn't matter how hot that furnace got. They could have heated it up a million times hotter. It didn't matter. God was still going to be there, and God was still going to deliver them. How many times has God delivered you? Yet many times we still doubt Him. We still doubt His power. We still doubt His almighty grace and His mercy that He's had upon us. But here is God willing once more to deliver us again. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No doubt their flesh, they was human beings just like me and you are. No doubt their flesh was tolling against them. Their flesh was working against them. They probably had thoughts run through their mindset. Oh, you better just go ahead and bow down, because the battle's about to get hot. It's about to get rough. It's about to be something like you never faced before. Oh, but they knew who their God was, and they knew it wasn't no time to bow down. It was time to continue on for the glory of God. And it was going to be shown. His glory was going to be shown by them being obedient. The same way the glory is shown through us. The same way that the people see God through us. It's by us still standing. When the times gets tough, when the times gets hard, we still know that God is going to deliver us. And you say, well, why did you title your message a $10 and $750? Let's go ahead and get to that, so we can get this off of your mind for just a moment. That's how God delivered me this week. We've been praying for a tent revival. It's going to take place September 27th there in Geraldstown. And we've been praying for a tent. We was about to have to spend $8,000 to $10,000 on a tent. It was just for a 40 by 60, amen. And we was getting down. It was about time. We was going to have to order it. We didn't want to waste any more time. We had begun to doubt. We had begun to just give up on us finding a used tent. But oh, then here came God along, and He delivered us again. I have a friend who's going to be holding this revival with me. His name's Daniel Sutherland. And he works at this place up in Kingsport. And there he was at work one day, and somehow or another somebody put him in contact with a man who just so happened has a 40 by 60 tent. The man told him, said, well, all I have in this tent is $750. So that's what I'm going to sell it to you for. God delivered. Here we was fixing to spend $8,000 to $10,000. God said, no. No, there's no need in that. I'll provide for you. But that ain't all. That ain't all that God provided. Let me tell you how else God delivered for us. His boss was standing right there near him and said, here's your $750. Amen. God will provide. Think about Abraham and Isaac as they was treading up, they was going up the mountain, and Isaac looked up at Abraham. He seen that they had the fire, they had the wood. Oh, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham told him, well, God will provide Himself a lamb. And they turned around. As Abraham was fixing, he draw back the knife. He was fixing to have to slay his own son as a sacrifice. But oh no, the angel stopped him. God was going to deliver again. And he turned around, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. God will provide for you. You just have to keep trusting in Him. You have to keep exercising your faith. You have to not run out and try to get ahead of Him. Pull back on the reins every once in a while. Don't let your feet get yourself out ahead of God. Let God provide a way for you. Let Him go ahead and get out in front and clear out your path and make a way. And it'll be a whole lot easier than you trying to get out in front and trying to show that you're something when we're all just nothing. And it's only by the One who lives inside of us, Jesus Christ, that we are anything. Amen. But there they were. They were cast into the fire. And lo, I see four men. They're loose and they're walking around. One looks like the Son of Man. There he was. Nebuchadnezzar began to realize just who this true and living God was that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This same God that still delivers today. Even when it looks like that there is no way, it looks like all hope is lost, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is always hope. As long as there is a breath in this body, there is hope for whatever you're going through. And when the breath goes out of this body, guess what? We got hope of another land, a heavenly land, a place called heaven, yonder up there in glory, a place where no more pain, a place with peace, joy, rest evermore. And we get to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to have a glorified body that ain't going to get tired. You're going to be able to not have things on your mind anymore, because He's going to take all of that away from you. Amen. But you have to just keep trusting in Him. You have to continue to go on all the way for Him. It ain't no time to stop. It ain't no time to end. It's time to continue on in the faith. It's time to exercise our faith. It's time to continue on knowing that, yes, it's getting dark out here. Yes, times are looking hard. But it don't matter how hot that the furnace gets, God will deliver for you. No need to be bowing down to no government. No need to be bowing down to anybody else. No need to be bowing down to any golden images. God will deliver for you. Hey, it don't matter how long that you might have been sick on this side of life. Hey, I read the Bible. I've read the Bible about a woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. I read about a man who was blind from birth. I read about a man called Lazarus who died and Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. I read about one who had an infirmity for 38 years. Oh, but Jesus healed him as well. It don't matter what is going on in your life. There's still a chance. There's still hope. There's still a time of deliverance. Amen. Don't let Satan get you down. But you know, even more so than Satan, don't let yourself get yourself down. We want to talk a lot of times about, oh, our friends let us down. Oh, our family let us down. You know who lets yourself down more? You know who will let you down more than anybody in this world is yourself. That's who will let you down more than anybody in this world is yourself. Because you'll find yourself in certain situations when you should turn it over to God. But you try to take control of the situation and then you let yourself down because you fail. And then you fall flat on your face and you find yourself once more crying out to God to just be your help, to be your refuge, to be that rock once more. Oh, and He's saying, well, I already was. You just had to call upon Me. But more than anybody on this side of life, you'll fail yourself. You'll fail yourself more than your friends could ever dream of failing you. You'll fail yourself more than your family can dream of failing you. You will fail yourself. Because what happens when a friend fails you? Well, if a friend fails you, you let that anger build up inside of you. If a family member fails you, you let that anger build up inside of you. And what do? Well, you're causing more harm than what that friend or that family member caused because you're dragging yourself down. It's time that we just let go of things and let God deliver us, because God wants to deliver you. That's what He's there for, to deliver you. He is there. He's still on the throne today. He's still sitting on the same throne that He was sitting on during this day and time that we're reading about right here in Daniel. He's still sitting there on the throne, ready and willing to help you. Other stories in the Bible, well, it ain't stories, it's truth that we read about. It ain't just stories. But other accounts in the Bible that we hear about. Daniel. The king made out a decree that he wasn't to be praying to his God anymore. Nobody was supposed to be. There Daniel was. He was just out. He'd still get down. He'd still pray. But the king had a decree. It hurt the king's heart to know that Daniel was in trouble after they'd seen him praying. The king didn't want to throw Daniel in the den of lions. He was fearful of that. And when the king put Daniel in the den of lions, and when they sealed the door, when there was no way for Daniel to get out, God made a way of deliverance for Daniel. King stayed up all night. He was worried about Daniel. I guarantee you, Daniel, there were certain points in time in his life where fear had entered his mind, but he knew who his God was, and he knew as he was in that den of lions that God was going to deliver him. I believe that king was more fearful than Daniel ever was. That king, he stayed up all night, probably rolling over both sides of the bed, walking, pacing back and forth. It says that he went down to that den of lions pretty fast. The next morning, he hollered down, "Oh, Daniel!" He pretty much asked him, "Is that God you've been praying to, the true and living God? Has He delivered you?" Daniel cried out, "Oh, King, live forever. Oh, King, live forever." He said, "My God has sent an angel and has shut the mouth, has shut those lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Oh, King, live forever." That tickled the king. That king even had a little bit of faith in Daniel's God. That king had more faith in Daniel's God than what he had in the gods that he had prayed to and all this. He had faith. Because why else would he have hollered down? Hey, Daniel, has your God that you prayed to delivered you? He knew that there was a chance that Daniel had been delivered. Yes. He knew that there was still hope. He knew that there was still a chance that when he hollered down in there, that Daniel was going to holler back up, "Oh, King, I'm still alive. God has delivered me once more." You see, it don't matter what man tries to do to you. It don't matter how many lions come at you. We still serve a God that's able to shut every one of their mouths, make them just lay down in your lap, make them just fall at your feet. That's the God that we serve. He loves you. And He loves me. He's always going to love us. You know, the only ones who don't have a chance of deliverance tonight, the ones who's already rejected deliverance and are in hell. There's still people that He's knocking on their heart's door saying, "I want to deliver you. I want to deliver you from that bondage of sin that you're in. Please just call upon me." There's still some out here dealing with sickness and He's still calling out to them, "I want to deliver you. Just call upon me." There's still some that's found themselves in a den of lions. It just seems like Satan's a raging against them. It seems like they're at a point that they can't find their way out of. There's still some out here that's going through money troubles like we can't even imagine. There's still some that's going through family trouble, family heartache. But God's still sitting on the throne waiting for people to just call out to Him to be delivered. And He's still wanting to deliver. Think about Moses for a moment. Moses' mom. Don't you think it broke her heart when she had to place Moses? When she had to lay Moses down. She had to take him up an ark of the bulrushes. And she dabbed it in slime and pitch. And she put the child therein, it says. And she put it, she laid him in the flags by the riverbank. Don't you think it broke her heart? Don't you think there was a part of her though that still thought that God was going to deliver? You in here tonight, and you on watching maybe on Facebook, you out there listening in the cars, it's mothers. You see your children many times go through things. You see them, it seems like they're just rejecting God. They're going every which way, chasing the devil. They're going out here and they're chasing the things of the world. Don't you still know in your mind that there's a way God can deliver them? And you mothers in here, you fathers as well, you might have kids that's going through sickness, going through pain. Don't you still have faith that you know that God could still deliver them with whatever they're going through? But hey, let me tell you something, parents. You're going to have to trust in God. You're going to have to turn your children over to God. You're going to have to quit holding on to them for everything that you have and let God take control. I believe here Moses was. He was over there. He was laid down. And I believe his mother probably went somewhere, maybe found her a corner somewhere, went in the house. Maybe she went somewhere behind some bushes or behind some trees. I believe that she got down and she just cried out, "God, can you deliver just this one more time? God, can you just show me that my son is going to be okay? Hey, God, can you please just hear my voice and hear my cries and hear my heart?" Here was old Miriam. Here was Miriam, her daughter. She was watching. As the Pharaoh's daughter that she was, she decided it was time. She needed to go take a bath in the river. Some reason she just decided it was that time, but it wasn't just for some reason. It was because God was putting everything in order. God knew what was going to take place, and God was already setting it up because He was already there. The same way He's already there for what you're going to have to face tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. He's already there. Mary, if she's looking over there, here comes the Pharaoh's daughter down. She's got her maidens with her, ready to get in the river. Oh, but they look over there, and there's this baby Moses. They hear the cries. Not only that, Miriam, she sees everything that's taking place. She goes over there and she talks with them there. Oh, do I need to go get a nurse? A nurse, and do I need to go get a nurse that can come over here and nurse this child? She knew who the baby's mother was. It was her mother. She was going to go out and get her. She done had all this planned out. God had done instilled this in her mind and in her heart. Hey, Miriam, this is what you need to do.
So here she's watching all this unfold. And then she goes and she gets Mama. Mama, come on. Pharaoh's daughter's over here. Some maidens are over here. They've got your boy. They want you to come over there and they want you to nurse him. See, God had a plan. This mother, no doubt, had probably cried out and God was just bringing it all together. God had then hurt her heart even before the cries had to ring out. God was bringing it all together. See, here was this mama. She got to know that her baby was okay. Not only that, God gave her more time with this child, to nurse this child, to spend a little time with this child, and to give her time to know that this child will be properly taken care of. Pharaoh's daughter made Moses. She ended up naming him Moses. She made him her own son. She was going to take care of him. We know the story of Moses, but look how God delivered right there. And not only was God delivering in that moment, God was setting up deliverance for the children of Israel. See, his deliverance just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. God was setting up deliverance for the children of Israel. He knew one day was coming where he was going to use Moses for his glory. He knew that the day was coming he was going to use Moses and Aaron to get the job done. And he knew that time was soon approaching. Here goes Moses, and he leads the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and God delivered them. They come up to the Red Sea. Oh, there's just no way. How are we going to cross? This is it. You should have just left us in Egypt to die. But what does God do again? God delivers. Oh, then they begin to get hungry. We're hungry. You should have just left us back there. Should have left us back there in Egypt rather than us out here to starve to death. Then the holy manna fell down from heaven and God delivered again. Over and over and over. Genesis to Revelation. God delivers. He delivers. He continuously, mercifully, graciously delivers. And if you wake up tomorrow and there's still breath in this body, He's going to deliver you again. You'll doubt Him and you'll say there's just no way, and then you'll realize just who the God that you're serving is, and He'll deliver you again. You'll say that, but this battle's different than the last battle. I don't care how small the battle seems. I don't care how large the battle seems. They're all the same size to God, and He'll deliver you from them. You know what puts fear in our hearts? It puts fear in my heart. Just to hear the word cancer. To hear that word, for some reason, we tremble. We tremble. You go in the doctor and they tell you, it's not looking good. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of hope. We're going to do what we can. That's all we can do. And that's the truth. They're just going to do what they can. You see, the healing, the deliverance, don't come from the doctor. It doesn't come from the doctors. It doesn't come from any man. It comes from God. Amen. That's where the healing and the deliverance comes from. They tell you it's just not looking good. You go to the doctor and they say, hey, your heart's just not looking good. It looks like times are running out. It looks like your heart's just about to give out. It's getting tired. That don't mean a thing. If it's meant for God, if it's His will to deliver you, He'll deliver you again. But if it's not meant for Him to deliver you on this side of life, He's going to give you the ultimate deliverance, and that's on the other side. And He's going to give you that glorified body. And you're not going to have to deal with any more pains and torments and suffering on this side of life. Sometimes that is the deliverance. But we have to remember to pray that His will be done. I found myself praying many, many times, Lord, let them stay here just a little bit longer. But that's me being selfish. Do you realize sometimes what you're praying people out of when you're trying your best to keep them here on this side of life? A lot of times when we're praying for people to be healed on this side of life, when it's done their time to go on, we're trying to pull them back in and make them have more pain, make them have more suffering. And God's saying, I'm just trying to deliver them. I'm trying to take them on. Sometimes it's just time. But then sometimes it's time for deliverance on this side too. God knows what we stand in need of. God knows what all we would have to face. He knows what we're going to face the rest of this day. For some of us, He knows that when we go out and get in a car, if it's going to be the last time we start that car up and head down the road. For some of us, He knows just how bad them results are going to be when you go to the doctor. He knows the money problems that you're going to run into. He knows the unexpected bills that may come your way. See, it don't catch Him by surprise. It's not unexpected for Him. He doesn't know all about it. And He's already way out there for the 100 more problems that you have fixing to pounce upon your life. He's there ready to deliver you. Deliverance. Same way God still's delivering for me. Do you think that I was looking forward to having to pay that for a tent? I'll be honest with you. I wasn't. God knew my heart. I was already running these things through my mind, but I thought, no matter what I have to do, God will provide a way. If we have to pay for this, if all of us have to come together and pay for this, well, then God will supply the money. But if God wants to, He'll just go ahead and He'll supply the tent. Not only do we just have a tent right now, we got probably 154 to 164 chairs. Now we're praying, Lord, just get us a trailer. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so for my God. Lord, get us a covered trailer that we can just have this thing loaded up and we can haul it wherever we need to haul it. This ain't nothing about us. This is all about Him. You see, we was going down the road one day. I never thought once in my life I would hold a tent revival. I've seen so many tent revivals that men are just trying to uplift their own name and trying to make a name for themselves that it left a bad taste in my mouth. I was heading down the road one day and it kind of just felt maybe like Saul did on the road to Damascus when the light just shone down and hit him right there. I was driving down the interstate and I said, and the Lord just said, you're going to hold a tent revival. I said, Lord, do I need to pull this car over? What are you doing? Lord, this ain't what I wanted. He said, ain't about what you wanted. You're going to hold a tent revival. I said, Lord, I have no clue how to do this. I don't know what to do. But I said, Lord, if I'm going to have to hold this tent revival, you provide. And I'm going to tell you the same thing that's been told to you many times before. Has God ever failed you? Has your God ever failed you? Will your God ever fail you? If you tell me yes tonight, I'm going to tell you, you're not serving the right God. You're not serving the true and living God, because the God I serve will never fail me. And He ain't going to fail you. He doesn't fail. He doesn't set people up to fail. He didn't tell me to hold a tent revival and then just leave me. He said, hold a tent revival. And He already knew that He was going to make a way. He was going to provide. You see, God looked down through time. He knew that there was coming a day where He was going to have to deliver all of mankind. He was going to have to deliver every single one of us. He knew that day was coming. Fathers and mothers, think about how it feels for your son to be hurt. Then think how it would feel for your son to be hurt for the murderers, the adulterers, the fornicators, the ones who hate and despise your son, the ones who don't want nothing to do with him, ones who just want to run him through the ground, drag him through the rocks and the mud and spit upon him. Think about that for a moment. Think about if you had to give your son for somebody like that. And now let's think about how God must have felt to know that there was coming a day, see, God done knew, that He was going to have to provide the Lamb, His only begotten Son, for a world that truly didn't want Him. For a world that would one day go through a great falling away where they don't even want to come to church. For a world where they don't even want to read their Bible. For a world that don't even want to pray. For a world that laughs to this day and still makes fun and says that there was no Jesus Christ. Or tries to say that he was just another prophet. For a world that just wants to serve everything else under the sun other than him. But he said, I'm going to send my son. And Jesus wanted to come. He wanted to come. And he wanted to die for you. Did he want to endure all that pain? No. But he loved you. And he wanted to deliver you. The perfect deliverance. There's no more sacrifices. It had to be done this way. As he shed every last drop of his blood, as he had already been beat, as they'd whipped him with the cat of nine tails, they beat the crown of thorns upon his head, they smote him, they plucked his beard. He was unrecognizable as he hung upon the cross. But he knew that you needed to be delivered. He knew that I needed to be delivered. He was deliverance. He was the deliverance. And today, we find ourselves still doubting. Look what he's already done for us on Calvary. And we find ourselves today still doubting. Let me tell you, to this day, he's still your refuge. He's still your rock. He's still your fortress. He's still your peace, your rest. He's still the comforter. He's still everything for you. He's still the Savior. He's still the deliverer. God just wants to help you. But you have to be willing to let him help. Think of the cries that are going out in hell today. You say, well, some people, they try to tell you hell ain't a real place. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of cries going out in hell right now. As I've stood here and as I've preached to you, there's been so many cries. No tears have fallen. People's eyes just dried up because there ain't one drop of water in hell. They're all down there. They're crying out in torment. Lord, 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 deliver me. Please deliver me. He's not listening to their cries because he had already offered deliverance. They had rejected him. There's cries going out in hell. Please send somebody back like the rich man. Please send somebody back to go tell my family, to go tell my brothers. Go tell them that this place called hell is real. But God is a just God. And we're all going to be offered the same deliverance. Jesus Christ told us that he's going to prepare a place for us. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
He's going to prepare a place for us. And he told us he's going to come again. We're acting as Christian people today. We're acting like the Lord ain't coming back. As we see what's going on in this world, as we see it waxing worse from generation to generation, as I preached here last time, we see kids just being rebellious against parents. We see kids that's raising the households. We still ought to be able to find joy in knowing that the Lord is soon coming. Everything that He said in His Word has been fulfilled or been fulfilled. Amen. We're seeing things that's just already taking place, and we're just waiting to hear that trumpet sound. We're just waiting for Jesus Christ to come. Some say he's coming on a horse. Some say he's stepping out on a cloud. I don't care how he's coming, but I know he's coming. And I know that that day is soon approaching. And we better be making sure that our hearts and lives are right. We better be making sure that we're telling our children and we're raising up our children to know just about this man, Jesus Christ. We better be telling our family and we better be telling our friends that Jesus Christ is soon returning and he wants to deliver you. But right now, we've got too many other things cluttering our minds. We're focused on all these other things. I pray, Lord, just clear our minds. Clear our minds, let them be focused upon you. Lord, get this hatred out of our hearts. That way we can just let you come in and squeeze our hearts, Lord. And let us feel you and feel your presence. Let us feel them tears, Lord. Let us feel the emotions. Let us know that you're still real and you're still seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for each one of us, Lord. But we find ourselves with our minds cluttered. As some of you sitting here tonight, you've thought about what you're going to do when you get home. Amen? I know how Satan works. He'll come into your mind as you sit there on the pew, and he'll try his best to throw things in there. When he does that, you say, just depart from me, Satan. Get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm here to have church. I'm here to get what I stand in need of. I'm here to get deliverance. And I'm telling you, God is still the same Almighty God that He was in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the same God that He'll be forevermore, and He can deliver you for whatever you're going through tonight. I don't care what the doctors have told you. I don't care what your family has told you. I don't care what your friends have told you. I'm here to tell you tonight the true gospel, and that is God is still delivering today. I'm not preaching any other doctrine to you than the sound doctrine. I'm preaching this King James Version Bible. I'm preaching it to you tonight that God still delivers and He will deliver you. Amen. Call upon Him. He wants to deliver you. He wants to be your help. Psalms 34:17, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all the troubles." Out of all of them. You say, well, this trouble's bigger than the last trouble. It said all troubles. I don't care what size the troubles are. I ain't came to a sea yet as Moses did. As seeing God part the sea. But I tell you one thing. I've come across some things in my life that feels like a sea that's in my way. And I've seen God just part the waters. And I've seen Him let me walk forth and walk all the way across on dry ground. God has made ways in my life. Let me tell you about a time when He delivered me. There was a time I was at an old church many years ago. I was just a little boy. There was a man up singing a song. He sang one song. It was called Two Shoes. Something like that. It's about Sunday shoes that he was singing about. But then he sang a song. It was called The Old Man Is Dead. That one rung true in my life. I needed to make a change. I needed to change the direction my life was heading in. I needed to change something. And I knew right there in that moment that the Lord was dealing with me. I couldn't control the tears. I ran to the back of the church. People came back there asking me what was going on. And then I made my way to the altar. And I got deliverance by salvation.
Yeah.
Saved. The Lord saved my soul. Didn't know at that time that He was going to call me later on for a work. But I tried to reject that work, but He just kept delivering me and delivering me and delivering me, and I answered His call. What do you mean He delivered you? Well, He didn't take me out of this walk of life. He didn't take me out of this walk of life. He kept delivering mercy my way. He kept extending my life that way I could answer the call and be found in His will. So one day I decided, after I kind of felt like there was no other choices, I couldn't outrun God, it was time for me to preach. Since then, I've been preaching. But since then, the day I was saved, so many times, even through sicknesses that I've had, God has delivered me. There was a time in my life where I found myself, I've told this maybe many times before, I was sitting in my bedroom, losing weight. I didn't know why I was losing weight. I had lost 50 to 60 pounds in a couple of months. I was looking like a little of nothing. I began to wear baggy clothes because I didn't want people to realize just how much weight I had lost. I was scared that something was going on. I thought to myself, I've got cancer. That's what I thought to myself. I thought I'm dying. I just felt weak. I felt like I couldn't go. Me being the stubborn person I was, I'd stay in my room. Try my best just to hide everything I was going through, but there came a point in time in my life I just had to go to the doctor. I had to get some answers. The only prayer I prayed, I didn't even pray for healing. I just prayed, Lord, please don't let this be cancer. Just let it be anything else that I can deal with. But Lord, I don't think I can deal with that right now. I go in there and they begin to run tests. The doctor pretty much told me a few things this could be, and one of the things he told me was cancer. But all I had on my mind was, Lord, don't let this be cancer. Let it be anything else. Doctor comes in there after running all these tests, and he looks at me, and he's got tears running down his eyes. I was thinking the worst. He says, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, but you got diabetes. I said, well, in my mind I was thinking, well, Lord, I think I might be able to deal with that for a while. You see, that prayer that I prayed was answered. It wasn't the Lord's will for me to just walk out of that doctor's office in that hospital 100%. For some reason, it was His will for me to have a thorn in the flesh. But praise God, it wasn't the thorn in the flesh that it could have been. He delivered me. He heard my prayers. He heard my cries. He heard my heart. And He delivered me. You might say, well, that don't sound like much deliverance. To me, that was a whole lot of deliverance. I done had on my mind what this was possibly going to be. And the only other thing I wanted was for the Lord just not to let it be that. You say, well, can your God that you serve, can He heal you from diabetes? I say, yeah, He can. But I also say the God that I serve knows exactly what to give me to keep me humble and to keep me in the place I need to be in. If it takes me having diabetes to keep me humble, well, praise God for it. If it takes me having that for some reason to get me to heaven because it's going to keep me in line and let me know that every day for me to gain strength I have to call upon God, will keep me right there and let me just keep a trucking on. And glory be to God, because He'll continue to deliver me. He'll continue to give me strength, and He's going to continue to do His part as long as I just continue to be found in His will. You're not always going to get what you want. Matter of fact, most of the time, you're not going to get exactly what you want. But ain't we, a lot of times, ain't we stubborn brats? If we don't get it our way, we want to throw a temper tantrum and look like we're right there in a grocery store aisle not getting that cereal that had the toy in it, just a kicking and a screaming. That's who we are as Christian people. That's who we are. We're little brats a lot of times. Well, Lord, that ain't how I wanted it. I wanted it this way. Do you realize you're talking to the one who knows what you need? He knows what you need. He knows the battles that you need to face to make sure that you stay in line. Start praying, Lord, just Your will. Lord, just Your will be done. Pray that. Before you go to bed tonight, pray for your lost family, for your friends, for all the troubles that you've been going through. God knows what your heart already desires. You realize that God knows your heart. He hears your heart. Sometimes it is nice just to go to the throne of grace boldly. That's how it tells us to come. Tell God exactly what you want, but then there's some times where you just need to pray, Lord, just Your will. I can't do nothing else. Lord, here I am again. I've prayed many, many times. Lord, I know You know what's best. Please take care of this for me. Then you think about the Samaritan woman there as she carried her water pot to the well and she came to know a man called Jesus. And she got the greatest deliverance of all. It says it was in about the sixth hour, amen? Jesus, there He was, being wearied from the journey. He sat there on the side of the well. That Samaritan woman came. She carried the water pot. She carried many times. She was getting ready to just fill them water pots up with water and carry them same old burdens back that she'd always carried before. The many, many burdens who had just had probably made her walk with a little bit of a hunch on her back many times because it was heavy. She knew, she probably thought, I'm going to go up here and just get what I always get and go back home. She was up there by herself for a reason. None of the other women wanted anything to do with her. They all probably laughed at her, made fun of her. She was just all alone. But here she came up on a man called Jesus who was going to offer her the living water. She told Him, but you don't have anything to draw with. Oh, but he began to tell her about the living water He was speaking of. Telling her about the water she drink of, she wouldn't thirst anymore. See, she came to Jesus there in the sixth hour, and it was probably about 30 minutes later to an hour later, she found out just who Jesus was and that He was going to deliver her. She realized that He was who He said He was. Jesus in the Scriptures, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Right. Amen? Amen? She took Him for who He said He was. She realized He was the truth. That Samaritan woman, she left her water pots laying there and she ran back to Samaria to tell all the people about Jesus. It says she told the men
about Jesus. Probably because the women all closed the door thinking that harlot and that whoremonger was coming back to take their husband too. Amen. That's how we are a lot of times, judgmental people. She began to tell all the men there about Jesus Christ and what he had done for her. And then they wanted to go find out about Jesus Christ. They told the woman pretty much that because of her words they had first believed, but now they believe because of him. They found out who he was. They found out he was the truth. They found out he was the one that was going to deliver them. The one who had delivered them. No matter what you're going through, church, here tonight, he wants to deliver you. Sometimes it's just this simple. Leave that water pot behind that you've carried many, many times before. Leave it behind. Run to Samaria. Begin to tell people about Jesus and go ahead and tell people how Jesus Christ is going to deliver you. When they say, how are you going to make it through this battle you're going through? I just don't see how you have any strength. Just say, my God's going to deliver me. Have faith. Have confidence in the one that you're praying to. Exercise your faith. Know that he is going to answer your prayer. You're still going to have some doubt. I'm just honest with you. I ain't going to stand up here and lie to you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When you get down and pray, there's going to be moments that you pray and you feel so much power of God that you know he's going to answer that prayer. And then you walk out of these church doors, and after you get out, you barely get to the parking lot and Satan's done working on you. See, that prayer wasn't answered. That prayer wasn't answered. In that moment, say, I know who my God is and I know he will deliver me. I know he will deliver me. Hasn't God delivered you many times before? Don't doubt him this one more time. Don't doubt him for what tomorrow holds. Don't doubt him for what comes in the next weeks. Let's stop doubting God and start knowing he's going to deliver. He's going to deliver the church out of what we're going through today. You look around, you go from church to church, and you say, well, the numbers have gone down. Let's quit looking at that number. Let's stop looking at that number. Let's start looking at things spiritually. Let's start looking at things spiritually. It don't matter what number we have to make up a congregation here tonight. It don't matter what number the church down the road has. What matters is how much spirit that we can feel. What matters is that we know that Jesus Christ passed by our way. What matters is that we know without a shadow of a doubt that he is going to deliver us. Amen. If everybody else falls by the wayside, if they give up, Bible says when Jesus fed the 4,000, before he fed them, the disciples was doubting. And Jesus said, if we send them away fasting, they'll fall by the way. See, there was so much doubt right there, but Jesus was going to deliver. If many fall by the wayside, you still keep going on knowing God's going to deliver. He's going to deliver. If it comes to a point in time where us as Christians, where they try to get us to denounce God, they try to get us to denounce Jesus Christ before we can buy or before we can sell, before we can do anything. If it comes to that point in time in our life, you keep the faith and you say, I still believe in Jesus Christ and that he died for me and he will deliver me. Don't give up no matter what battle we face. I will tell you, we're stronger together. If you've got doubt that you're going to come back to church, if you've got doubt that you're going to stick with this, continue on. If you came to church tonight wondering if this is going to be your last church service, you're about ready to just give up, let me tell you something. Come on to another church service. You just keep coming knowing that there's going to be a service where God just gives you what you stand in need of. Just keep a coming. If you came to church tonight, if you're sitting there in sin, yes, you need to get your heart and life right. But I encourage you, if you don't get it right tonight, just keep a coming. Deliverance is coming your way. Just keep a coming. Let's keep a sticking together. Most of the time, the predators, they'll attack the weakest one. They'll find the one that's separated from the pack and they'll devour them. Because it's an easy kill. It's an easy meal for him to feast on. That's the way Satan tries to get us a lot of times. He knows that we're stronger together. He tries to divide us. He tries to separate us from the pack. He tries to get us out of church. That way we're not hearing the Word of God. And that way that He can pounce upon us in our weakest point. A lot of people He's looking at tonight thinking He's done God. But claim the victory tonight and claim that God's going to deliver you. Do we have faith? Do we exercise faith? Scripture tells us that He gave us the measure of faith. You have the measure of faith tonight. Are you exercising that faith? It's been kind of short tonight, but I'm just preaching what the Lord's laid on my heart. That's all I can do. Somebody here tonight, maybe somebody listening on Facebook, maybe somebody out there in the parking lot, you need deliverance from what you are going through. I can't preach it to you any more plain than what I've said it here tonight. Deliverance. Where are you going to find deliverance? From God. What's holding you back? We can't blame Satan if we end up in hell. We can't blame our friends. We can't blame our family. It's you who needs to seek out the right paths. It's you who needs to follow after God. It's you who needs to believe in Jesus Christ and that He died for your sins. It's you. Your friends have nothing to do with whether or not you make it to heaven. That depends on how much you want to make it to heaven tonight. You ain't going to stand before judgment. You ain't going to stand there before God and say, well, so-and-so did this to me. That's the reason I never went back to church. And that's the reason it looks like I ain't just going to make it into heaven. And He ain't going to say, well, bless your heart, I'm going to let you in now. It ain't going to work that way. You're going to answer for everything good and for everything bad that you have done. You're not going to answer for so-and-so. You're going to answer for yourself. And He's probably going to tell you, look how many times I've delivered you. And you're going to stand there before Him knowing how many times He's delivered you and how many times you have rejected Him. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're going to be unexcusable, old man. You're not going to have an excuse. If you go to hell, it's by your own accord. Because God has done everything possible to keep you from going there. Everything possible. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. I've heard people say, well, God, a God that's so great, a God that's so nice and does this for so many people, He wouldn't send anybody to hell. He don't send people to hell. You send yourself there by rejecting Him. That's how you end up in hell. It's the rejection. It's the not wanting anything to do with Jesus Christ. It's easy. The scriptures, a lot of times, if you're led by the Spirit, the scriptures are easy. How much easier does it need to be when it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved? How much easier do we need it than that? That's simple, isn't it? We make it complicated. We let people fill our minds with all these other doctrines. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Believe that He died for your sins and He rose on the third day. Believe that He's still sitting on the right hand of the Father. Believe that God can still deliver you tonight. He loves you. We need to do better at loving one another. We need to do better at showing compassion. But God is doing everything possible. And He's left us the blueprint. He's left us the examples. How much more deliverance do we need to read about before we know that God can help us with what we're dealing with? I guarantee we've already read enough proof. We've already read enough truth. We already have everything that we need right here. Everything that we need to know that God is going to help us tonight. Everybody just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As I said, I don't know if you're standing in need of something here tonight, but God knows all about it. I know for this message it's meant for somebody. Somebody needs delivered. Somebody maybe sitting in here tonight, maybe watching tonight, or just listening in. If you're sitting in your cars, get down and pray. Step outside your car. Get down beside the car and pray. Come in here with us and pray. Whatever you need tonight. If you need to be delivered, get the deliverance that you need. Us that's sitting in here tonight, it's an easy walk up here to this altar. But the only thing that's hindering you is you're hindering yourself. Satan's telling you that so-and-so's going to think this about you. They're going to think that you've done something bad. They're going to judge you. None of that's true. The only thing that will happen tonight if you came to the altar and prayed is that there'll probably be somebody get down and pray with you. We love you tonight, but most of all, God loves you. It's a lot easier trip home knowing that you got what you stood in need of. It's going to be a lot easier night's sleep. It's going to be a lot easier night's sleep if you get what you stand in need of before you go to bed. There's going to be a lot more joy when you wake up in the morning when you don't already wake up feeling defeated. Just pray to God, deliver me. It is that simple. God, with these things that are standing in my way, just deliver me. Please, just make a way. And He'll make a way where it seems there is no way. Maybe you need the greatest deliverance of all tonight. Maybe you just need the Lord to save your soul. Call upon Him, no matter where you're at. You can get saved anywhere out here. God is everywhere. You can get saved. You can get saved at your home. You can get saved while you're out at the barn. You can get saved. The Lord can start dealing with your heart as you're driving down the road. You pull over and have to kneel down on the side of the interstate and get saved. You can get saved as long as the Lord is dealing with you. There's only going to be so many times that He continues to knock. For everybody that's in hell tonight, there was a last time that God offered deliverance. I would hate to think that the Lord was dealing with me right now and I was rejecting Him in what could be my last time, my last opportunity, one of my last few breaths. But it's happened to many. Anybody tonight just want to pray for whatever you're going through, sickness, money trouble, family trouble. Maybe you're just in a lot of pain tonight. Do you want to come and pray for deliverance? Anybody just by uplifting your hand desire prayers tonight? Just by uplifting your hand. Say, preacher, please pray for me. Nobody's looking around. Bless that hand. Anybody else tonight? Thank you all, church. I'd say again, I appreciate the invite from Brother Paul. It's always a pleasure to come down here to Lick Creek Valley. It's been about my third or fourth time now. I'm not sure. Maybe more than that. I can't keep up anymore with everywhere I go. But I know I've been here quite a few times to recognize all the faces. I know a few names. We love you tonight. You all, everybody here has a special place in our heart. Everywhere we go, people just have a special place in our heart. We all just trying to make it to heaven. Amen? Amen. If I could do a little part in just helping you, encourage you along life's way, that's all I want to do. Just encourage you. Maybe I can do something, just a light a little fire under you, or do something just to be a help to you. That's my heart's only desire is just when I go to churches. I just want to be a help to somebody. All I can do is just open my mouth. When I open my mouth, He feels it. He provides the message. He is the preacher. Nothing about my name. It's all about Jesus Christ. And He knows what you stand in need of. And I'm just happy He allowed me to come by this way. But we appreciate you and love you. If y'all ever need anything, just call us. Call us anytime and just be praying for us. Pray for this revival that we're planning. Like I said, never held a tent revival before in my life. It's new to me. So please be in much prayer for us. Church, make sure tonight that we just keep praying for Paul to get his strength back. I miss Brother Paul. It's always, every evangelist will pretty much tell you this, it's a whole lot easier to preach when the pastor is at the church. I miss Brother Paul when he's not here every time I visit, but I'm glad that he had faith enough in us to call us. Make sure tonight you pray for your pastor. Amen. Lift him up in prayer. That's your duty as the church. The church that attends Blue Creek Valley here. It's your duty to pray for Paul. It's my duty to pray for Paul. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, so we better be praying for him. And I hope the Lord just strengthens him. I hope he comes back and he preaches the hardest message he's ever preached before in his life. Save about 10, 20 souls. People just flock in to hear him preach because they can hear him down the road. Amen. Pray for his strength. And I just pray the Lord continues to bless his ministry. Paul's been a blessing to us. And we'll do whatever we can for him. But we appreciate you and we love you.